The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While there was a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisee saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician. The sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel and on this feast, we have one of the most important scenes ever. When Jesus goes in to a customs house, it would be as if he went straight into a mafia meeting where they were sharing the profits of illegal drug sales all over the table. And Jesus looked at the chief one of them, the head of the mafia, pointed at him and said, "You come follow me." And that mafioso left millions on the table, left that life behind, got up and immediately followed the Lord. And he who had been touched wanted others to share in that joy. So he began to invite all the other drug dealers, all the other mafiosi, to meet this same one so that he could do the same thing for them. That's what this scene is all about. You know, it's interesting how many doctors and nurses found their vocation precisely by the way they were cared for or a loved one was cared for when they were sick. The pilgrimage I just finished yesterday, we had a young girl who was born basically with a terrible illness on her face, a outward sort of blood vessel that only continued to grow. She needed so many surgeries as she was growing up, but that was just the beginning. Then she had terrible kidney problems. She had problems with her liver. She had congestive heart failure as a teenager multiple times. And yet born throughout that entire experience was a great desire in order to be able to help people who were sick. And that led her into the healthcare field. Likewise for us to grasp what the gospel is, we need to see our own autobiography in the scene of St. Matthew. That if we think we've never been sick, we never need a doctor, we're probably going to put doctors on the outside of our life. And the only reason why we would become a doctor is perhaps for the money or for our own ego. But if we recognize that it was because of the loving and compassionate and competent care of those who have saved our life, we begin to recognize that importance and we want to start sharing it with others. That's what happened for St. Matthew. As soon as he was forgiven, he wanted to bring that medicine to others. And that is Jesus' MO at all times, that he chooses reconciled sinners as his advertisements of the type of mercy he wants to bring to the world. And it's absolutely key for us to grasp and to repeat 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times Jesus' words in today's gospel, "I desire mercy." Jesus desires mercy. That's why he came into the world. So the first thing we've got to grasp is he desires to flood us with that merciful love. And he does it because as blind some of the times as we are to our own malady, he recognizes we're sick sinners. I love when we pray the Hail Mary in French, as I had a chance to do a lot when I was overseas. Priez pour nous pauvres pécheurs, that we're poor sinners. Or as we say at the beginning of the Mass, "I have greatly sinned, by my own grievous fault, that God desires to flood us with that mercy. But we have to recognize we're sick, that we need a doctor. It's the first aspect of it. But the second, He desires that we share His desires for mercy. That we try to bring others, just like Matthew did, in order to allow them to receive that same greatest gift of all. And that we seek to be merciful with others. There's been a lot of controversy over the last couple of days, especially in the secular media, about Pope Francis's interview on Thursday with all the Jesuit publications throughout the world. And the media continues to obsess over those lines in which he said the first thing that the church needs to do is to spread the Lord's mercy. That when they look at the church, they have to recognize He loves and He welcomes everybody. They're all His kids. That of secondary importance, which doesn't mean not important at all, is to call them from the life of sin, from abortion, from contraception, from same-sex sexual activity, from gossip, from so many other things. Pope Francis is not saying that those are small things. But what he's saying is that the first thing that people need to see when they see a Catholic is they need to see someone who's merciful, not someone who's judgmental, not someone who they believe is going to first point a finger at them and say, "You're a sinner." But somebody whose finger becomes a boomerang and points first, "I'm a sinner, we're all sinners. Come with me to receive God's mercy." It's not downplaying the church's teachings in any area, but it's focusing on the most important thing of all. I desire mercy. We got to live that. Today we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Pope Francis' vocational call. Father Nick and I, hundreds of times in our lives, have been asked to explain to people how we received our vocation. It's very common for priests and religious to be asked this question. And most of us can trace it to a series of experiences and a culmination in which we became clear that that was exactly what the Lord was doing. Vocational calls are among the most important events in history. You know, so much of the greatest art focuses on these callings. St. Paul on the road to Damascus, Peter at the seashore being called, Matthew at his customs desk, Mary praying at the Annunciation. But I think that there's an incredibly beautiful vocational call for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, one that after his election 6 months and a week ago has tremendous relevance for us all. He was just a 16-year-old boy. He was a decent kid. He was smart. Grew up in a relatively poor family. He was really taught the faith by his grandmother more than anything else. And on a national holiday, September 21st, is the first day of spring in the Southern Hemisphere. It's called Students' Day. It's a day that the students all go out and they have a lot of fun celebrating some epic moments in Argentinian history. And he was going to be meeting all his friends at the train station to have a fun afternoon. But before he went there, he was led, in a sense, to go to his local parish church of San Jose, St. Joseph, and pray there. He's never said whether he was drawn to go to confession, but while he was praying there, he saw a priest whom he had never seen before. Now that's an interesting expression. A priest he had never seen before in his church. You know, imagine if you came today and saw a priest you had never met, never seen, never heard of. That would kind of get your attention a little bit. But Pope Francis never identified this priest, which is rather strange. But he felt drawn by the external holiness that he exuded to approach him and ask if he would hear his confession. So they went into that confessional. And young Jorge Bergoglio came out. And instead of going to the train station, he went home because he knew he had received a vocation to be a priest and really wanted to ponder what had happened in that confessional. Back on the Vigil of Pentecost, May 18th this year, he met with 200,000 members of the various new movements in the church led by the Holy Spirit in St. Peter's Square. And he spoke for 38 minutes off the cuff about various things in our faith in response to their questions. But one of the first questions is, how have you personally grown in faith? He said what the Lord taught him that day. This is the only real detail we have of what happened inside that confessional. But he said, I went there and I recognized God had been waiting for me there. In Spanish, there's an expression, primeriar, which means that God always goes first. That we think it's our choice that we're going, for example, to go to confession. But we recognize God had always been there with an appointment waiting for us that day. And it was a great mystery for him, one that he always lived. And thereafter, every September 21st, as he pondered, as a young priest and as Jesuit superior and bishop and cardinal and now pope, the words that every priest in the world prays during the office of readings in the morning of this feast from the Saint Venerable Bede, the 7th century British historian of the church. The Venerable Bede commenting on what happened to Matthew was almost commenting on what happened to Francis and what's supposed to happen to each of us. The Venerable Bede wrote in Latin, Vidit publicanum, he saw the tax collector, et quia miserando et eligendo vidit, and because he saw him with mercy and while calling him, Aid illi sacrare me, said to him, follow me. Miserando atque eligendo, that is the papal motto. From that scene in the confessional 60 years ago today, throughout his entire papacy, Pope Francis has been pondering these terms, that while the Lord looked on him with mercy, he was calling him at the very same instant, that our vocation is totally tied up in our call of mercy from the Lord. Jesus came to call sinners. For us to respond to that vocation, we need to see that he calls us sinners in order to receive his mercy, live in his mercy, and share that mercy with others. That's Christianity. If we do not grasp that, we are not Christian. If we're not regularly going to confession, we don't grasp numero uno in our faith. If we're not trying to bring those we love to confession, we don't grasp numero uno in our faith. And there are many Catholics who don't. And we just have to confront that forcefully. The greatest news of all is that God loves us despite our sins and will have his own son brutally murdered in order to get us off death row. But we need to come to that water and drink. We need to receive that incredible gift. Pope Francis, at the very beginning of that interview on Thursday, he was asked by the Jesuit editor of La Civiltà Cattolica, who was doing the 3-day interview, who is Jorge Bergoglio? And the question caught Pope Francis off guard. And he thought about it for a second and he said, I am a sinner who has received the Lord's mercy and want to spread that mercy. One of the most powerful moments when I was in Rome at the conclave was his first Sunday Angelus address, which came right after his first homily on a Sunday, where he showed up at the parish church and just said, could I take this Mass and preach? And it was about the parable of the prodigal son that day. No, it wasn't. It was the fifth Sunday, which was another parable of the mercy. Forgive me, I'm forgetting exactly what the gospel was that day. But there he said, in beautiful Italian, Dio non si stanca mai di perdonare. Però noi stanchiamo di chiedere perdono. Doesn't translate as beautifully in English. God never tires of forgiving us, but we sometimes tire of asking for that forgiveness. And so he said, Let us ask the Lord for the grace never to tire to ask for what He never tires to give. There are 300,000 assembled all over the place, really packing it in. The crowd started crying at the beauty of that reality. Vidit publicanum et quia miserando et eligendo vidit, eit illi sacrae me. Today the Lord Jesus looks at each of us just as lovingly as He did Matthew, just as lovingly as He did Jorge Bergoglio 60 years ago today. He looks at each of us, you and me, with love, with mercy, and with a call. May we do exactly what Matthew and Jorge did and get up and follow the Lord down this path of mercy He so much desires. And then spend our life echoing throughout the world that God never tires of forgiving us or them. Let us never tire of living in that mystery of divine mercy. Praise be Jesus Christ.